Luke chapter 6. Ronnie's running? You never see that.
I've never seen him run.
Ronnie running?
No, he wasn't actually running.
Moving kind of fast.
Moving rapidly?
Rapidly.
For Ronnie, that.
For Ronnie.
Anything more than a stroll is running.
Now we have to wait 10 minutes while Ronnie makes his coffee. No, we don't. Luke 6. Starting, we're now in verse 12. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. What?
I like that he went out to a mountain to pray, and that just wonder about that. What a wild experience.
Let's talk about that. What were the prayers of Christ?
God's success, I suppose.
Remember a disciple. This is defined. Jesus defined a disciple. He said, you are they that have continued with me, or that continue with me in my temptation, in my test. The only test that he had was to never lean on his own arm of understanding as Son of Man, but in everything, empty himself before the face of God. That's the same as what you're called to do. It's what we spend all those hours and days on about thoughts.
Yeah, that prayer had to be shedding himself.
Emptying, the Son of Man. He was about to do something very important, choosing faithful disciples that would be called apostles. Remember, he had 5,000 apostles, 5,000 disciples. Then he said, in order to be his disciple, you have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And only 12 were left. So this is critical.
It's a big moment.
It's a big moment. The mountain is Oros. Let's go to Matthew 17. Let's look at a couple things where mountain is used. Mountain is always, it's throughout the scriptures and in the Old Testament times, it was, the word was used as, it was a proverbial of a difficulty. So it's not just climbing up a mountain, it's proverbial of any kind of difficulty that you're facing. So here's in verse 20. Let's start in 14. They had just witnessed the transfiguration. Matthew 17, verse 14. And then he said, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. I can't stop there. I gotta go on. I better move on. And sore vexed, oh my God. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil or the demon. He was departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. So we have this mustard seed analogy, and so everybody, you can go to the Christian Booksellers Association, and they have all those little gimcracks, and they have a little piece, a little mustard seed, and a necklace you wear. But the point of it isn't the smallness of the mustard seed. It's the fact that the mustard seed knows who it is. You understand the difference? The mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed because it has no self-awareness.
That is belief.
That's what belief is. You can't believe as long as you have self-awareness. But if you know who you are, if you know that your life is Christ, then nothing is impossible. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. So, he can say to that mountain, no matter what the difficulty is, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done, for nothing shall be impossible. Now, what is Jesus doing then when he's praying in Luke 6? He's praying that he would totally and completely lose his self-awareness as Son of Man. He was fully Son of Man and fully Son of God. But he, when he was baptized, lost fully, not lost like it just magically disappeared, but he knew that he could never again lean on his own arm of understanding about anything. He had to empty so that that life within him, the inner man, would be revealed. And since he, and that's what it was, he had to know that he was the mustard seed. And that's what his prayer was. All through the first 30 years of his life, they went through the 3-year cycle several times that he was with. And they read all of the law and all of the prophets and all of the writings. And he had a slow dawning awareness. My God, they're talking about me. His prayers then were the Psalms, written by the Spirit of Christ in David and the other writers. The Proverbs were the contrast between that which is spirit and that which is flesh. The law and the temple and the offerings were a parable of him. Amen? But you, just as he had to lose his awareness of self. And that's what the prayers were all about. There's one prayer, one psalm. I don't know, did we ever talk about Psalm? I think we did, but Psalm 92. It supposedly is the psalm, the only psalm written by Adam. Let's look at it. And it became honored as it was read every Sabbath from time immemorial.
Where are you going?
To the psalm written by Adam. Psalm 92.
Or we could sing it.
Don't, please don't. Everybody find Psalm 92? That's right. It was read every Sabbath day from the time that it was written until today. It's still read on Sabbath. All right. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy works. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked, and remember it says wicked one, when the wicked ones spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forever. More, for lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall perish, and all the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. Now, Psalm, just for the record here, so verses 1 through 5 are praise of him. Verses 6 through 9 are about him or you and I after the flesh, the wicked one. And then what happens? And then his victory. But my horn shall thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn. Now the unicorn, they're not unicorns. That's a Hebrew word. It's in Hebrew, that the word unicorn is rheem, R-H-E-E-M. And we've been studying this in Wednesday night. The rheem was a breed of oxen who is huge. It was said to be almost as large as an elephant. It was the most vicious of all ever, of any, no bullfighter would ever win. It was extant up until including the time of Caesar. It was massively all over the place at the time of Caesar. And Caesar wrote of him about whoever is able to kill one of these rheem is hailed as a hero throughout all of the Roman Empire. The last one perished in the 1600s, but there are bones of the rheem. And it's huge. And so it's said that whenever that there, nothing could withstand it. There was no animal, its instinct was to destroy everything in its path. And so it said that of Israel, that once a young rheem went wild in Israel and left one tree standing, and was about to destroy everything in Israel. But then one of the Rabbi Ahia prayed, and the parent of the rheem in the desert called it back, and it didn't destroy everything. But this is the beginning of judgment. That's where we are, and that's what you have to understand. The only way you'll have the fear of God is if you understand this judgment. So let's look and see what it says. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of a rheem. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes shall also see my desire on mine enemies, and my ears shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. And again, remember, every time it says wicked here, it's wicked one. Who is the wicked one that rises up against him? You and I. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So why is that psalm so important? Why is it so important that it was given credit that Adam wrote the psalm before he fell.
Because he saw.
The only way you can understand the mystery of God is to understand that you are the evil one. You are the instead of Christ. Your number is 666. That number is written on your forehead because that's all the way you can think. It's 666 because you can never get to rest. Your mind is continually moving. You can never be at rest. That's why Christ is the only one that ever kept the Sabbath perfectly, but he did it in the grave. And that's how you can keep the Sabbath, because it's his life in you. Amen? But in order to see this completely, you have to see that there's no good part of you. Some of us have had a problem over this. We think there's something good within us.
This must have been this prayer on the mountain. Christ had to be denouncing his flesh or shedding those things of man that were a part of him. Or he couldn't have gone on. Man would have risen up and caused him to quit. Or
no, it would have caused him to be king.
Or that, yeah.
He would have, we've asked the question many times. He healed a few, why didn't he heal everyone? He fed a few, why didn't he feed everyone? He had the power.
Yeah.
Could have snapped his fingers and there would have been no more. There would have been no more lunatics. There would have been no more ignorance. What?
No more sore vexing.
No more sore vexing. Just snap his fingers. He snapped him better than that, though. He probably was. I can't snap my fingers either. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he make Ronnie a really, really outstanding person?
Yes.
With living in a little white house.
Ronnie might think that he did.
Right. I know he did. He's going to be here to test us.
Do you know that he made Ronnie a righteous person?
Yes, everyone has good. No.
There's zero. That's a lie.
I see the spiritual.
Show me. Find that one place in the scriptures.
Chelsea, I cannot relate to the book. I can relate only to my experiences, and the spiritual world is beyond outside of ourselves. But where demons and angels are, and that's but we do not contain them inside us.
Then that's a lie. That's the exact opposite of what the scriptures say.
Well, I mean, some people do have demons inside them.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the only thing righteous is in you. But that righteousness is only Jesus Christ. But any other righteousness that you have is as filthy rags, menstrual rags.
Yes.
Any other goodness you have is like sucking on a menstrual rag.
Yes.
Which means what?
It means that it's
right.
The goodness is bad.
I got you.
You got me? You didn't need any more? Huh?
No, I'm good.
No, you're bad.
That too?
All right, let's go back to Luke. No, let's go to Romans 7, just for Ben's sake. Can you find Romans 7?
For Ben's sake.
For Ben's sake. Mr. O'Brien. Romans 7. What you were going to say something a minute ago, and I didn't let you.
Romans 7. Who's going to say something?
What?
Who's going to say something?
Yeah, just think of what we're talking about here. It's like that's the whole point of Christ going to the mountain and praying was to
get rid of him.
Yeah, everything about him. And you can just sense the power of that.
All right, Romans 7. Verse 14. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, I don't want to do. For what I want to do, that's what I don't do. But what I hate, that's what I do. Does that sound familiar to anybody? What I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I don't want to do, or I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now that is the most important point in your life. When you can finally say, and be honest enough to say, that I'm doing what I don't want to do and I have no control over it. Then I consent that the law is good. Now that was the crossover point for me. That was the thing that was necessary for me to see before my conversion experience. I consented unto the law that it was good, even though I didn't know the law. But I knew something was wrong. So I consented unto the law that it was good. Wow. Before that, my only law was rules are for when brains run out. And brains ran out. Before then, it was the world, the land of the survival of the fittest. I found out I wasn't fit. Then it was rules are for when brains run out. And I found out they ran out. And so I consented unto the law that it was good. That's the biggest jump that I made before the conversion experience. Now what happens? I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, this is the kick. This is the kicker. You can't say Satan made me do it. That's not what he's saying. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Remember, there are sin offerings and there are trespass offerings. The trespass offerings are for what you do. The sin offering is for who you are. And you must see that the sin offering has been complete, therefore you are no more. You are, the scriptures say that by one offering you've been perfected forever. But that has the predicate. By his one offering, he fulfilled the sin offering. That means you don't exist anymore. That means there's been this guy, this mystery man, This one that you don't even like, that's been you. And you can run around and say, oh my God, I love myself. But in the midnight hour, you hate yourself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Then watch. I consent unto the law that it's good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Where are you?
Now in verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I don't want to do, that's what I do. Now if I do that which I don't want to do, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, now listen carefully to this, I find then a law, when I would do good, the evil one is present with me. If you ever think you have something good to give, if you ever think that you're doing anybody any good, then you've been deceived. This is a sin of Christian religion. Because they believe they're doing good. They ignore this.
Although it is the flesh that they are saying that dwells within the flesh, not the soul.
What do you think the soul is?
The soul is not a part of our body.
Yes, it is.
It's not
The spirit is the only part of you that is eternal. The soul is that, first of all, the soul is everything that's made you you up to this point. It defines your you-ness. That's who your soul is, the incorporeal part of you.
But it's separate from the physical body.
No, it's not. It's one with until you die, until you see your death, that you died on the cross. And then only he is resurrected.
Then how do people who have out-of-body experiences see themselves? They see, they float up in the hospital room.
Well, let me tell you what, I took acid. I was on the ceiling looking down at myself.
Yeah, you had an experience like that. But how don't you believe that that's true?
No, I believe it's an illusion.
Separate from your, really, you don't know?
No, there's no evidence for it. There's no evidence for it in my conversion experience. There's no evidence for it in here.
Well,
the soul has to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that renewal is when you empty, constant emptying of self. Not my will, but thine, Father. Not my will, but thine. The moment your will comes into it, then you've polluted it. Not my will, but thine. Not my will, but thine. Not my wants, but you. Not what I see, but what you see. Not what I do, but what you do. I am dead. My life is hid with Christ in God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. The moment you think I is there and I has any importance, then you've been deceived. The moment you want to do good, gone. The moment you're aware of self, you've been deceived. And if anybody doesn't know that by now, you're a fool. Either that or you have no integrity.
I think, again, this is what happened on the mountain.
Of course, that's why we're talking. That's why we're studying it.
The soul was, Christ had a soul.
But the soul, as Son of Man, had to be transformed.
Yeah, he could have used soul power.
He could have used. He could have, as I said, he could have healed. Man, I wished he'd have healed me.
Me too.
I'm not too sure about Ronnie, but I wished he'd have healed me. Man, why didn't he fix me? Why didn't he make me nice?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. What was he?
Nicer.
Nicer.
Did you say nice, sir, or nicer?
Nicer.
Well, this is a critical issue, really.
This is everything.
Because this is the point where the cross is either picked up or you begin to use religion to, you know.
Well, you've been to religion. Does you do it, Benny? You become Benny Hinn in your own little way.
A lot of people.
Oh, kiss me where?
Right, demons.
I'm kidding.
Fighting demons.
That got a smile out of Sue. That got a slight smile out of Sue.
Boy, it's pretty funny.
All right.
Yeah, sorry.
I find in the law, verse 21. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil, or the evil one, is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, in my flesh, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now listen carefully to this next part. You've heard me say it before, but listen carefully. He's about to describe a death penalty that was reserved for the most serious offenders in Rome. Mostly those that were traitors. It was mostly high officials that were traitors was this. And they chained a dead body face to face to you. Tied it with ropes and chains so that the maggots in the dead body went into your flesh. Now this is what he's describing as himself now. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, nobody delivers him. He doesn't say anybody. He just says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Amen? What do you do then? What shall this man do? Everybody thinks they're truth seekers. You ever notice that? I've never met anybody in my whole life that didn't think they were a truth seeker. Right? But they refused to acknowledge what it is.
What is?
This is why Abraham was so important. Abraham, the founder of the only three monotheistic religions in the world. Abraham was the first one to find out what truth was. And what it is and was is truth is something that doesn't change with time or place or circumstance. So if anything that you believe changes with time, with place, or with circumstance, it can't be true. Now, as long as you live in the illusion you don't expand those, use scriptural terms, you don't expand the pegs of your tent, you don't lengthen the cords of your tent to the edge of time and space itself, then you live in the illusions, because you don't have the integrity to test it against what is truth. Do you understand? And so you can have all these nice opinions. You can think you're right about stuff. And they're all bullshit. Oh, I've got these great opinions. It's like you ever been to one of these barber shops where the guys just go in there and sit around and tell each other tell each other lies.
That's where the world problems get solved.
Yeah, right. Everybody, I'll tell you one goddamn thing. If I were president, well, he doesn't have a pot to piss in, but he knows what he would do if he were president. That's why I hate small talk. Anybody notice I hate small talk? Because it doesn't have the component. That's why let your speech be seasoned with salt. Not just this outward speech, but the speech of your mind. Let it be seasoned with salt, that the component of eternity is in every thought. Otherwise, it's not worth giving any importance to. Otherwise, you're just living in this little illusion. You've created a world where you've narrowed the parameters so you can prove to yourself anything. You can have all these nice opinions. I'll tell you one thing. Nah. It's all crap. And so what Christ had to do on this mountain before he selected his disciples is to lose all that. So he's only in that eternal now. His mind is only a connector to the Father, nothing else. Do you ever notice how many times you go to church and people pray to Jesus? There's not one example in the scriptures of anybody praying to Jesus. Why? Because he's your life. He's praying to the Father. Remember, everything we talked about this morning was about Jesus going up to the mountain to pray before he selected his 12 apostles. Now, can you do that? Can you pray to empty of anything that changes with time, place, or circumstance? Amen? Anybody have any response? Gary. John, if you're everybody, all new people get a chance to speak without me correcting them. It's your only chance.
I understand. Email. It's the how. How do you get rid of self?
Is there any part of you? The only way you can get rid of self is to find out that it's dung. Does it take any effort to walk away from dung? It
shouldn't.
Well, does it? Unless you're sick. As long as that's why. Listen, read Philippians 3. I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. There's nothing in my life that I want that I had before. No opinion, no wealth, no anything. Now, can you say that? Or are you longing for... Most stuff you're longing for, it's like Gary used to pine for this, maybe he's still doing it. Pine for some first love, which he's created an imaginary person that he thought was real. Pining for the fjords. I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Until you count them but dung, this is just philosophy. And I hate philosophy.
How do you take action on that?
How do you take action? You don't. He does.
That's a perfect response. That's what everybody wants to do. Right. How am I going to do it?
This is right. Since I started preaching. If I did what you say, Oli, I'd just go sit in a corner. Because I want to know what to do. My response is, then you have a form of godliness, but deny his power.
What was that?
You have a form of godliness, but deny his power. If you think you'd go sit. But remember too, blessed are they which are dead in the Lord, yea, from henceforth saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. For the first time in your life, your works will follow instead of lead. Does that make sense? All right, take a big guy.